Welcome, everybody, to the UESP podcast. I'm your host, as always, Pylon, and I'm currently trying not to succumb to illness that is attempting to take over my body, so apologies if I'm coughing and sound terrible tonight. We got a great show tonight with everybody, and I want to just pop in and introduce our guests. So beside me, we have AKB, and do you want to introduce yourself quick?
I do. I am AKB. I am an administrator for the UESP, among other things that are the UESP and solely the UESP. If you see an account that says UESP, I probably am running that in some capacity.
Awesome. Baratron, how about yourself for anybody who doesn't know?
I'm the guildmaster of the UESP guild on PCNA server, and I also do a few things on the PCEU server, and I'm an administrator for Discord, and I sometimes do some tweeting as well.
Have you always been the PCNA guildmaster?
Basically, ever since Dave decided he didn't want to run it himself, yes. Oh.
But he's still the founder.
He's still the founder, yeah.
That makes sense. And Alara, my fellow coffer.
Yep. Yeah, I'm Alara, and I'm also trying not to get sick again, because I spent half this past week sick. Got something else now, apparently. But anyway, I am an admin on several parts of the UESP. I edit the wiki, do a little bit of the social media as well, admin of the forum Discord. So, a little bit of everything.
Awesome.
And yeah. Lost is not here because he died of the plague.
Lost did not die of the plague. He died of chickens being attacking him.
He hasn't died. He's on holiday. He's gone to Hyrule.
Yeah, he's been found in Hyrule. So we're happy about that. We wish him the best on his vacation. Well, we've got a fair amount of news, so let's pop over to that now. Okay, so we've got a fair amount of news to go through. As always, before the show, yesterday when I was working without a voice, saying like, well, there's not that much news to go through anyways, I was quickly corrected about there being a lot of news. So, AKB, you've got some UESP news, don't you?
I absolutely do. And that is, our Discord just got a small update. If you are a member of our Discord, just check it out. If you look at the top banner where it says our name, there's a little button that says we're Discord partners. And that is it for UESP news.
What does a Discord partner actually even mean? Honest question, because I don't actually know.
They don't know either.
Cool.
That's kind of... See, that sounds like it's a joke answer, but they're kind of retooling the Discord partner program, so it's kind of feels like they aren't sure what they want the Discord partners doing or the exact relationship to be anymore. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but basically it's something that we had to apply for. We got it quite a while ago.
It makes, on a technical side, it makes the server slightly like faster.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a verified account, isn't it? Is that what it kind of sounds like?
But Verified is an entirely different program that... I don't know how to start talking about the Verified program without getting extremely...
Well, on that note, then, we have other UESP news that you forgot about. And that's what that we're giving away a Torchbug code today. So all platforms are eligible to win. You can win by typing !! Torchbug in the chat right now. I'm looking at it right now, and I've seen a few entries already coming in, so make sure you, if you want a chance to win the Torchbug pet, which has still eluded me, and I still haven't won yet, and it makes me sad, but I won't win one tonight, because that'd be weird. Yeah, type !! Torchbug in the chat. We're a little bit late. We normally do the show on Monday, but as I let you know, I legitimately woke up without a voice yesterday and was just wheezing and coughing all day. So we have that to talk about. And in Blade news, Alara, do you want to let us know what's happening there?
Okay. Yeah, hopefully I don't lose my voice throughout this thing. So Blades released an article that they called it the first Blades Town Hall. And I'm guessing it's probably going to be a monthly thing because the title says like May update. So they said that in upcoming changes, they're going to be looking at adjusting the cost of repairing equipment so it doesn't cost quite so much. Yeah. Adjust the abyss balance at higher levels. Adjusting enemy difficulty because some were unintentionally too difficult. And then fixing the job difficulty so that the skulls don't...
They actually mean something.
They're not really entirely accurate so far. And they also said that they're going to be... they're working on a big update that they're going to talk more about E3, which will be adding fan-requested changes and updates like duelery and additional story content.
That is so weird that it's been a year since they announced this game. And we've been playing it for like 2 months.
Yeah, it's been about 2 months.
Better than when they announced Legends and it. Well, actually, no, that was about the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, Legends was about a year after the announcement that it came out.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was. That's right.
Legend, yeah. They have.
It was about 2 years, actually.
Their track record for mobile games is the weirdest thing. Their first mobile game came out this moment Todd Howard said it's coming out. Legends.
Which one was that?
The Vault one. Fallout Shelter.
Oh, right. Now, so you're not including Shadow Key and the Elder Scrolls Travels as mobile games?
They didn't make those, though. So.
Yeah, true.
Well,
they didn't make Legends either. I'm just here correcting you. I'm the well-actually person today. So
you should lose your voice again.
It's so much easier when I can't talk. Anything else in the Blades update there, Lara?
No, that's as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
It's really good. They're getting rid of the insane repair costs. I think people are paying like 2 million gold for the end game equipment, which is just basically impossible to get.
The rare repair costs are just too high. I think a little bit lower wouldn't be too bad. So if they can reduce that,
1 million is fair for your equipment that's damaged every day you use it.
All they really need to do, in my opinion, to rebalance repair costs is have selling, being able to sell, or whenever you spend money on repairing, that goes into the vendor's like total gold amount to allow you to sell more gear. That would completely fix repairing.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've kind of gotten stuck on is just selling stuff that's stuck in my inventory and... Mm-hmm. It's like, and it's like oh, a I can sell gold.
3 pieces of this a day.
Yeah, and so, only my blacksmith has enough gold to buy some of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if they just changed that so that it was basically any amount that you repaired with, you could use to sell back, I think that would balance out pretty well. So, Baratron, how's the ESO news doing this week?
Well... Elsewhere exists. PC and Mac, it's what they call early access. Now, rather amusingly, you can still pre-purchase it to get instant access. Do make sure you buy the right version. If you already own the game, you're looking for the upgrade. There is a normal and a collector's edition in both the upgrade and the full game. There's no physical collector's edition this time.
Yes. But they are selling the Wrathstone tablet separately, which is available for pre-order right now.
And it's $60.
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to justify buying it.
I know. They don't have it. It's odd. They only have it in the US store because there is actually a Bethesda Europe store as well.
Yeah.
But they're not selling it there.
Yeah, they've always had like separate merchandise because I've seen stuff on the European store and it's like, you know, it's way too expensive to ship it and... There's a few things I wanted, they sold out of before, like, you know, packs and stuff. Otherwise, I would have asked you.
Anyway, so yes, If you are not on PC Mac, or if you can't afford to buy it right now, otherwise the launch date is the 4th of June. So for the people on consoles, that's when you can expect to see it. Now, although the chapter is called Elsewhere, within the game, it's been renamed to Northern Elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So as you're traveling around, that's what you see as the zone that you're in. And, you know, hopefully this will avoid the unhappiness that some people felt with Vardenfell when they discovered that Sheogorad wasn't included.
Yeah, because it's not all of Morrowind. It was just the Vardenfell.
Yeah, and this is not.
So this is just Northern Elsewhere.
The north part, yeah.
The chapter is still called Elsewhere. Just the zone has been renamed to Northern Elsewhere, which makes sense.
Now we can get Elsewhere 2 somewhere down the line.
Electric Boogaloo?
Well,
exactly.
I mean, people did wonder that with Vardenfell, if we were ever going to get the northern part. As a DLC later, but obviously it wasn't part of the story that they had in mind, but maybe at some point in the future. And as always, there's many changes to set and skills, slight nerfs to some of the foods which scale to your level, specifically Dubious Camoran Throne, the Witch Mother's Brew, Arteum Takeaway Broth, and Clockwork Citrus Fillet, probably. So do check the patch notes. There's an awful lot of changes. So, you know, some of them are quite small, some of them are quite big. I know we've all been complaining about Earthgore, which is the monster helm, which is absolutely invaluable if you're a healer and you're running, you know, a trial group or something like that. Until now, it's been able to heal six people at a time. Now it's just going to heal one. So, yeah, quite a lot of changes. I think Nightblades in particular have a lot of... sort of, you know, you read it and they've like renamed the skill and actually changed what it does. So yeah, definitely go through that.
Awesome. Yeah. And we're going to get more into the Elsewhere kind of experience later in the topic tonight. So we're just going to touch on the kind of the high level marketing kind of news right now. And then Alara is going to let us know what's new in the world of Legends after she finishes her sip.
Appropriately from a Legends mug.
Oh, there we go.
And it has dragons on it. Yeah,
dragon. Wait, there's dragons in the second era? I thought they were all dead.
Actually, can we handle that?
That in the topic. We'll hold on to that.
Oh, we'll talk about it in the topic.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I just like getting Baratron riled up there. Alara, the Legends news.
Okay. So for Legends, they released a Dev Diary article about the mobilize mechanic. So they talked about how they knew that they wanted to, for that Daggerfall Covenant, do something with items. So they thought of having animated weapons, but then it turned out that those just tended to be better than the items themselves. And so they came up with a couple other ideas, like Refine, which would let you upgrade all or some of your items. They played with the idea of dual wielding, but then they decided, well, they can summon a 1-1 creature and just equip the item to it for mobilize. So that's how they came up with the idea. And that's, I guess, pretty much what it said. And they definitely knew about the mechanic, the item mechanics, because a lot of the decks that already exist that are red and blue have, like, you know, red guards and Bretons and items already. Yeah, the article actually mentions that if this color combination had already existed, they probably wouldn't have even done this Alliance War theme.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. That's really cool insight. Yeah, so we posted the link in chat there, and it'll be available in the show notes after. And then there was some other news, I think, if I am correct, about a mystery.
Yes.
Tell me more about this mystery.
So on Sparky Pants Twitter account and on the Legends subreddit, they've been giving us pieces of a puzzle. So this has included images with excerpts of lore books. A lot of them seem to be about necromancy. There's actual literal puzzle pieces of a card, which appears to be a type of mummy. And then there's also a letter written by Abner Tharn that was written specifically for this puzzle. So let's see, do we have a link for that?
Well, The Sparky Pants. Basically, this. Oh, you want the link to the letters? Yes, sorry.
Here, I got it. I can put it. So yeah, there's the Abner Thard message. So, this is presumably hinting toward the Quarter 2 expansion for Legends, and it looks like it's going to be themed basically around the stuff that's going on elsewhere.
So it's just, so they're going to have two expansions based on second era content in a row, you think?
Sounds like it.
Makes sense.
And in order to see the puzzle, then obviously go to Sparky Pants Twitter, which is twitter.com/SparkyPants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can
see we've also been talking about it in our Discord too.
Yeah, so if you go to discord.gg/UESP, you can join in on the kind of mystery solving that we've been doing in there. So it's been a lot of fun. Awesome. And then we got a little bit of news for another Elder Scrolls game, and not one that you would expect. We have a tabletop game has been announced. It's called Elder Scrolls Call to Arms. Alara, did you want to talk a little bit more about the news there? I didn't get a chance to dig in too deep into it. I saw that it was a miniature game, and I was like, oh, there's something I won't be able to afford. So very exciting, but I haven't dug too much into it.
Yeah, I haven't... I read about this. I haven't done much, any miniature games before. So, yeah, I'm not sure about the costs, but it's definitely...
If it's anything like Warhammer, I'll just look at it and be like, oh, that looks so cool. Oh, wow, that's expensive.
So, well, from the way they described it, when you buy the... they're only going to be selling a few miniatures, but, like, the price of entry is still, like, $60.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the promo figure that they've already announced, but that's like $20. Anyway, the mobile game is called The Elder Scrolls Call to Arms. It was announced yesterday, and it's being developed by Modiphius, which is the company that also made the Fallout Wasteland Warfare miniature game.
Now, there was just a controversy with Bethesda and a tabletop game with the plagiarism thing, and do you guys kind of feel like that they considered doing this, but then they kind of forced it out to get that news story out there?
I think that is very conspiracy theory, because if they were actually doing this, this has been planned for a long time.
Yeah, this like, would this be is, way too much.
There's to... way too much production involved with this. If they're talking about casted minis and it's been through testing, like, they were going to be announcing this regardless. I think that the Elder Scrolls Online thing was a social media snafu. This is an actual product.
Mm-hmm. If anything, that might have been a teaser for this, but I think it was just something that they found and they thought was cool. So, yeah. But this seems like it's been around for a while, because they do have a lot of information about it already. Yeah. So, it'll be played with 32mm resin miniature characters like Warhammer, and At least in the two-player starter kit, it says forces will typically comprise 1 to 6 heroes and 3 to 15 troops. And you can play cooperatively or even solo, which is unusual for a miniature set game.
There's, I don't know of other ones that have solo modes, unless it's like kind of player-created ones. So that'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work.
From what I read, it was going to be basically just retooling it around Elder Scrolls from the Fallout version.
Does the Fallout version have a solo mode?
I don't know that, because, I didn't play it, because it was a miniatures game that... And we don't have that big of a budget.
I'm looking at it now. No, it's a two-player set, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess from what we know, the solo mode will be, the enemies will be controlled by an AI system, and you're going to roll the dice and compare the score against a reference sheet, and so that'll determine the actions of the enemy characters.
I'll be 100% honest, if I'm playing this game solo, I'm doing it like solitaire solo, and I'm just going to cheat. There's no way I'm actually going to play and be like, oh, I lost, darn. It's like, oh, look, I won that roll.
I did. I did that when I was a kid, and I had those like choose your own adventure books.
Oh yeah, you totally cheat at choose your own.
You always kept your finger on the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I didn't fully. I didn't turn the page. I didn't let go. So it's fine.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Let's completely derail this and talk about Choose Your Own Adventures books. My favorite Choose Your Own Adventures book broke that system by having the winning chapter where you actually got out of the peril you were in be an unreachable page. So every ending was a dead end. The actual thing, you had to just flip through the book and you'd be like, oh, that's how I actually win.
Oh,
that's
nice.
So strange.
That's so funny. So what will the first release be, Alara?
It'll be the Skyrim Civil War. So it'll be a two-player starter kit, and it'll include Hadvar, Rayloth, I'm not sure I pronounced that name, Yrsirald, Thrice Pierced, Mercurio, Mjolnir Linus, Ulfric Stormcloak, Galmar Stonefist, General Tullius, and Lydia. And I like that you can later be Lydia. There'll be the solo set, which is the Dragonborn against Draugr.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I wonder if they're eventually just going to just straight up do a normal tabletop game.
Yeah, so it seems the press release says the game will feature scenarios ranging from dungeon delves where you seek out lost treasure to running battles across the ruined outposts that dot the landscape of Tamriel. All of the fulfilling quests and narrative-driven scenario objectives that will see your band of heroes grow from game to game. Will you claim the ruined fort as yours and build your own settlement, or wander the countryside clearing out foul ruins of the stench of your enemies? Dun, dun,
we'll, we'll definitely have to look into this more once it actually comes out.
Yeah. And then AKB can send me one that we can just play with on stream. I think that'd be a great idea.
I mean, I suspect that it's, to some extent, it's how well it does as well. So they've got these two releases planned. They've got the solo Dragonborn set and the two-player starter kit for the Civil War.
Yeah.
And supposedly they're planning to have more Skyrim sets as well as stuff from Oblivion and ESO. Which is kind of interesting. I don't know quite what they would. I don't know quite what they would cover, and that's the point at which I start getting interested because you know I love Oblivion, but the prices of these things and the fact
they're
that
they're so expensive. It's like full
the miniatures
hobby.
Don't come assembled or painted, and there doesn't seem to be the option to get them.
That's the drive for these things. That's what people really like to do. Like you don't buy a miniature pre-painted. It's kind of almost like. It's not your own if you haven't painted it yourself, if that makes sense. Like, it's a very interesting culture for that kind of thing.
I don't have the, you know, the ability to paint.
Oh, no, I do not have the dexterity to paint.
You
them.
Know, I can
paint. I would totally bet one of my friends, like, I have a few friends that are really good at painting miniatures and stuff like that. I'd be like, hey, buddy.
It seems like it'd be just so tiny and hard to do detail.
So right, this launch promo, the Dragonborn, it's $14.99 in pounds or US dollars. It's unassembled and unpainted. And if you were then giving it to your friend to paint, how much would it go up to? You know, what's your friend's charge? How long does it take to paint this, and what's minimum wage where you live?
Just you have to realize that miniatures can legitimately cost hundreds of dollars for single ones.
Yeah, they're and very expensive.
Especially the metal ones.
And also, I would be paying my friend in beer. So.
Oh, you're paying friend in beer. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's how we would work that.
What's minimum wage in beer?
Scott, we'll talk later if you're listening.
We'll do that math later.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they've got that promo available. It's available for sale right now. And the first waves will be sent out in July and August. It will be available for retail later. And it doesn't include instructions on how to play itself, but in the two-player starter kit, they'll have instructions on how to use the Dragonborn.
Which is hilarious. I don't understand that. I wonder if that's a common thing for like the Warhammer tabletop miniature kind of games, where it's just like you'll buy one of them, you're like, well, frick, I don't know how to use this now.
I'm thinking. There are cases where there's miniatures that aren't statted, but I'd have to think of very, very specific examples of that. Because usually, like, you'll introduce something in the setting and just forget to include rules for it.
I'm confused why that would work. It probably makes sense for the market that they're dealing with. I'm just not aware enough of how that would work. So, So it says, as we said, it'll include a host of accessories like scenery, metal tokens, dice bags, settlement journals, and things like that will expand your options, which will be really cool. I like Baratron jokes, as people say video games are expensive.
They do. I mean, people really do bitch and moan about the DLC in ESO, especially the dungeon DLC. And look at the price of it, you know, for a dungeon DLC.
There's legitimately like $3,000 like normal armies and Games Workshops.
Just amazing.
But the one thing is, it would look really good on the shelf behind me.
It looks so amazing.
That would look sweet. Like, I could have a little like up here. I could have a little like three-tiered war going on. Have like a
But how would anyone if they're like 32 millimeters? That's like just over an inch for
America. But then you have.
Like, how's anyone going to see them if they're back there?
Oh, I'll zoom in.
You have hundreds of them.
I'll add just a miniature cam on screen, so I'll move myself up a little bit, and we'll put just a pylon's miniature battle everywhere, so you can just see me sitting there, like, for the entire episode. That'll be exactly what happens. I think it's cool. I'm glad to see them expanding into those things. I am one of those people that will always welcome new physical merchandise from the games that I play. And Lara is obviously one of those people as well, since every Scholarly Pursuits, I think, except for maybe one, we've talked about the recent purchases you've made. So we should go over to the Scholarly Pursuits so we can talk about that. So yeah, I'm going to bump us over there now. So today in Alara's closet, she's going to tell us what new Bethesda purchases she's made.
Yes, there was a sale on the Bethesda store a while ago, and they had some t-shirts really cheap. So for Elder Scrolls Online, I have the Somerset shirt.
Is that the new is that the our Elder Scrolls one?
No.
Or is that the Somerset one?
So since it's been out for a year, it was on sale. And also the Skyrim VR one. And I thought this one was pretty cool because the picture doesn't really show it, but it's actually shiny.
Ooh.
That's got, let's see. I can't see if it's on camera. Yeah, no, it's got a like blurry, a dark blue.
But I can kind of make it out.
Metallic.
Oh, I
don't know how you can see it, but.
I actually have that one, yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to search the store right now and see what else is still on sale.
Yeah, a show to do.
Yeah, they. What was on sale? Yeah, I think that VR t-shirt is on sale for $10. I was just looking earlier. And I also...
The VR logo was so pretty.
It was really pretty.
It's too bad that the VR is not the most fun in Skyrim. I don't know
Turn my background blur off a little bit so you can see. So this is the 25th anniversary.
Have you guys played VR Skyrim?
No, I haven't, but someday I want to get it, because that was like my dream game always, well before they announced it.
I tried it, but I also...
It is so hard.
I can't do VR. I'm personally just... It just makes me too nauseous, and I'm too aware of the field of view that I currently have with it, and it just... I can't get any real... I've tried a few different VR setups, and it's just none of them have really been able to... make me feel immersed enough that it's not harder.
I've tried a few VR things. You can go if you want.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I've tried a few VR things. And I mean, I do get pretty immersed, but the problem with me, you guys know how clumsy I am. So, one of the games I tried at PAX East last year, I think I just about knocked over the wall of their display. So I keep walking into stuff. So, yeah.
I just can't focus.
It's
everything's blurred and
I did find at least with the HTC Vive, it seemed like there's a really, really specific spot it had to be, otherwise it would be too blurry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The screen door effect that they kind of have. Which the PlayStation one had the least of that, but it's still there.
Yeah, I tried the Oculus one as well, and that one I think was a little bit better, but I don't know which one I'm going to get when I finally save up enough for that someday.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy supporting it because I want it to actually be a real thing someday, but we are so far away still from it being actually good.
Yeah. I think we're still quite a ways away.
Yeah, and you have to get, like, you know, if you're using your computer, really good graphics cards. Like, I got my, I have a 1070, and I'm not sure how well that'll do, even.
It's usually okay. I have a 1080 before. That can handle it pretty well, but.
There really, like, hasn't been any major need for upgrading after the 1080. Like,
no, it was such a minimal upgrade.
RT, we don't want to go into RTX. That is a whole can of worms.
Yeah, the RTX series is a bit odd there. So other than purchasing and getting all your new goods, have you been up to anything new, Alara, or are you kind of just chilling out?
Not much. Very little Legends and Blades. Not really anything I know to mention there. I just haven't had time recently.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy too. I got into Elsweyr yesterday, finally, even though I was sick, so I didn't really play all day, and I played for probably half hour last night, and I played over my lunch break today for another half hour. So I got a little bit through the main quest, but I'm dumb, and a while back, I pre-ordered Elsweyr, and I may have been slightly inebriated while I did so. So I ordered it. I thought I got the collector's edition because I think it was like $60 or something like that. So I'm like, okay, that's probably the collector's upgrade. Nope. The Canadian exchange rate screwed me over. And the normal digital upgrade in Canadian is $60. So I thought I got the collector's edition, but I did not. So the only thing I'm like a little sad about is that I didn't get the Centrot mount. But other than that, I'm okay with not having the collector's edition. I would have bought the physical collector's edition if there was one this time, but since there wasn't one, I ended up ordering it on Steam, so I had that.
Yeah, I'm sad there wasn't.
I know, I love, like, I have behind me here, like, the other two statues that they gave out, so that's the only reason why I'm really tempted to buy the Wrathstone. But
I suspect they got sick of handling it, because
it's a nightmare.
There would be the people, you know, who the PC and Mac players who were having to contact support to get their early access, you know, saying, yes, I have bought it, honest, here's my shipping code or whatever.
Yeah, but I know what happened a long time ago with World of Warcraft is I think it was with their Warlords of Draenor expansion where they gave people early access if they pre-ordered the game. And what happened was people were saying they purchased it physically and sending in their receipt to get early access so that they could play, and then they canceled their pre-order so that they had no record to take it away because they didn't know that they would have canceled that pre-order because they didn't have a connection to the physical merchandise. So I know after that kind of fiasco, they stopped doing that completely for digital upgrades. So I imagine the same problem existed for ESO. And also, they're just hard to work. Like, there's so much more effort that has to go into it for probably, I imagine they don't make that much more money off of the collector's editions. And people generally complain about them anyways. I love them personally, but people are always like, oh, this doesn't, like, a 8-foot statue. I wanted this to be an 8-foot tall statue. This is the worst.
Yeah, or I know, like, there are some complaints about the, like, quality of them. Some are right broken. And in the original game, actually, my book was misprinted. I was really excited to read about Somerset because I like Altmer, but it repeated a section and completely omitted that. So it took over a month of back and forth with their customer support before I was able to get that replaced. They did, once they were able to escalate it, they fixed it very quickly, sent me a new one, overnight shipping. So that was awesome. But it was difficult to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. So excuse, I can imagine me, it's just hard for them to do that.
It's 2:45 in the morning and
you're just yawning.
I'm not bored, I'm just suffering. Just,
it is early in the morning over there, so we'll move on to AKB section.
Very early.
AKB section. Which...
tell us all of your troubles.
My Skyrim broke like 2 weeks ago, and I lost everything, and I was very sad. But then I kept tinkering with it because Pylon was like, well, that's why you do backup saves. And I'm like, I'm not going to deal with that sass. So I kept tinkering with it. And after 4 more reinstalls, I got my character back. So did that, Pylon.
It's also bugging me. I'm watching you on stream. And when they're healing somebody, if you bash them with your, like,
Yeah, light, you're not using your interrupts.
Yeah. So click your left and right mouse buttons at the same time, and you can interrupt them, and they'll stop healing.
I don't want to do that, though, because it's not making any difference.
That's awesome, but you should still back up all your game saves.
You should not. Do it my way.
Okay, live dangerously and lose everything, the AKB story.
I didn't lose everything, though, so there.
Did you lose any progress at all, or were you 100% fine?
I can't play Beyond Skyrim anymore. I don't know why.
Well, that's strange. Well, that's exciting. I'm happy you didn't lose everything, even though you should still back up everything. But Baratron, what have you been working on this week?
Sourced my new Necromancer and went to elsewhere, and I found Maik. Looks like he has at least 3 spawn points. And he told me several amusing things. He's like, upon further reflection, Maik still finds the idea of reanimated corpses frightening, especially those of the Alfik. Do not ask why.
One of Mike's new lines is very, very interesting from a lore perspective. Let me just pull it up. You're going to see me stop playing the game as I do that. Where is Maik? Maik. Oh my god. We tweet too many things.
Yeah, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
You've heard that the Khajiit love naps, yes? So does Maik. Though maybe Maik is napping now and this conversation is but a dream.
Ooh. Is that the whole... We can go in the full games in Elder Scrolls 6. You'll wake up and find out that Skyrim was all a dream. And that's how they're going to resolve all of the inconsistencies.
Well, I hope not.
That'd be great. And then you just play again as the Dragonborn.
Hey, I'm old enough to remember... When Dallas did that.
Oh, Dallas, the worst. And
was it a year or a year and a half of
it was a full season.
Yeah.
Season 7, I believe. I believe it was season 7 of Dallas. And then the last episode, they're like, oh, it was all a dream.
Yeah, whoa. Bobby shows up in the shower. Yeah. I was like 8, but yeah, I do remember this. Anyway, Maik, very exciting. And I spoke to a Palmer Rot, who's like one of the giants, the huge Khajiit. And he was lying down in the pub because he's too big to sit up. And he's so big. I know everybody's excited about the Alfik because they're so small and cute, but the Palmer Rot are really cool as well because they're so big.
How much bigger are they than... Because there's a Cench Rot... Is the confusing
they're twice
thing.
As tall.
There's a Cench Rot world boss, though, isn't there? That's massive because it's a world boss, which gets confusing.
Haven't seen that one yet.
It's a necromancer, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one looks like it should be a Palmer Rot, but it's a Cench Rot. But it's confusing. Yeah. Game mechanics.
Oh my gosh,
weird.
This argument again.
Game mechanics. It's weird.
Game mechanics.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to delay for a second while I fix stuff, and you're going to ignore while I'm doing all this. No one look at the man behind the curtain.
While you're fixing whatever, you should enter our Torchbug giveaway by typing Torchbug.
Yeah, so exclamation mark Torchbug. Yeah, exclamation mark Torchbug in Twitch chat will give you a chance to win. Reminder that we'll just be giving you a code, so no worries about any shipping information this time.
It should... Yeah, you just go plug into ESO right after you're done watching.
Yeah, you can pop it into ESO, and it works. We have codes for Xbox, PlayStation, PC, EU, and NA for all of those.
Wins,
so whoever wins just have to let us know what platform you're on, and then we'll send you the proper code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. And on that note, we're going to move over to our main topic for the night. So, Elsewhere, or Northern Elsewhere, is now playable. We've got a little chance to break into the game and see what's new and happening here, so it's kind of exciting for us. So, we wanted to just kind of go through what our first impressions were so far, and kind of what the high-level, non-lore-related things are. We're going to do our best not to spoil any of the main story, since it's still pretty early, so I feel like that's fair to not talk too much about it. We may talk about the first little... little bit you see or some things that you may see along the main quest, but we're not going to go over the whole story for you right now. But there are a bunch of new things added. One of the cool things is sky shards are added to the crown store. So, Beartron, do you want to explain how that works?
Mm-hmm. So this was the thing that we discovered on the, must have been the 12th of March, when a couple of us from the UK went to speak to Rich Lambert in London, and he announced this. Now, at the time, he didn't know how much they were going to cost. The way this works is that if you have a Sky Shard achievement on one character, you can purchase that achievement on another character. Essentially, the idea is to save time repeating content. And the Sky Shards cost 50 crowns each, but they must be purchased as an entire zone. And you must log into the character who has that Sky Shard achievement, you know, for whichever zone you want, before you're able to purchase it. I've seen quite a few people confused by that. They've been like, but I've got this on my main, why can't I buy it? I'm like, yeah, log into your main, then you'll be able to.
Okay.
And the zones are there, and you know, you need to as well be a little bit savvy. You need to look at the maths of this. Like, if there's 18 sky shards and it says you're going to get 6 skill points, then obviously that's worth it. If there's 18 sky shards and it says you're going to get 1 1/3 skill points, then you might as well just go and pick up those 4 sky shards manually, because it's better. And people have done the calculation. They're saying, oh, you know, 22,000 crowns to buy all the sky shards in the game. It's like, yeah, but no one's going to buy all the sky shards in the game.
Yeah, there'll be
the best use of this is particularly in Cyrodiil, where you've got things like sky shards that are behind the enemy gatekeeps.
Yeah.
You know, because
do it unless once, you don't spend, have to do it again.
Yeah, unless you spend all your time PvPing, the likelihood of those gatekeeps being open, you know, it's not that high, and it's really useful to just purchase all the Cyrodiil sky shards, and then you can just PvP without having to worry about wandering
around
the place.
Only if you've already done it before too. So that's the one thing to remember when talking about that, is only if you've earned them before. So have you bought any Beartron yourself, or
I actually got the Imperial City, and I got the two opposing factions on my new necromancer. So my new necromancer, although he's a Dunmer, he's in AD because I belong to an AD PvP guild. And so I got the Pact and the Covenant. And you know, all those extra skill points went very, very quickly.
Yeah, when you're making a new character, it's kind of nice
they really went quickly.
I can see that one, like, I can justify that one to myself too, because how much time am I going to spend just going to those zones to do content I've already completed that doesn't require really any skill? It's just a time sink.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can think of it two ways. You can think of it, if you are money rich, time poor, then just go ahead and buy them. If you're time rich, money poor, then by all means, go pick up each sky shard manually and think, I'm saving 50 crowns, I'm saving 50 crowns, I'm saving 50 crowns. You know, you're welcome to do it either way. Just be sensible about it, and you know, buy a whole zone if you don't have any, or if you've just got one. Don't waste money because you do have to pay for the whole zone.
Yeah.
Also, the one thing I will say about Cyrodiil is, you know, there's the Pact, there's the Covenant, and there's the Dominion. And then there's that one Mountain Sky Shard. That one doesn't seem to be in there.
Oh, really? The one that's kind of in that weird... Yeah, I always get that one.
The one that's at the top of the mountain with the giant. Yeah, that one's missing. Ah,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's the one I always end up getting, too. Because I'll just, like, randomly run around Cyrodiil, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, look, there's this one up here. I'll just go get that one. And then I go up the whole mountain and then fight. Is it a troll or a giant?
I think I'm pretty sure it's a giant.
It's a giant.
Yeah, I started the wiki page for him, I think.
He's got a cheese sack, so it must be a giant.
So the other thing, kind of new fun thing, is there's a ton of new sets in Elsewhere.
There are so many new sets.
Yeah, there's so many new ones. And a lot of them seem really cool. Beartron, you put a note on some of the ones that you wanted to bring up. What are the kind of sets we've seen?
Now, okay, so nobody wants to
So this is my free crown crate, by the way, for buying the expansion. And I got a demon mask and nothing else notable.
Nothing more. I got a house cat, a costume, an emote, and then a couple random things.
That I got the scary
Khajiit DiBella doll mask.
Oh, that one's terrifying. That mask.
Yeah, I don't like that mask. Oh, that's really scary. Okay, in terms of new sets, we've got 14 in total. Three of them are Overland, three Crafted, and then four from the trial. Now, it's four times two because you've got the regular version and then the perfect version, which is if you do veteran. It's normally veteran on one of the highest levels. I quite like this one. It's called the Vesture of Darlok Bray. It's a medium set and looks potentially interesting if you're bad at sneaking.
Yeah.
And you're doing Thieves Guild and Dark Brotherhood because it's got, you know, magic recovery, stam recovery, and then reduces the radius you can be detected while sneaking by 2 meters, reduces the cost of sneak by 10%. But that's not all. It's then got, while crouching, you restore 670 magic and stamina and heal 670 health every second. So, yeah, if you're bad at sneaking, you can then pair that with Night Terror. And can you run that in Night Silence as well? 5+5, but no, not quite. Nearly. There's one called Vastaris. I'm sorry, I don't know how you pronounce her name. Vastaris Tutelage, which could be good as a support set in PvP. It's crafted, so you can make it in any armor weight and impenetrable. And, you know, it's basic stamina, health, magicka, stam recovery, magicka recovery. And then when you resurrect an ally, you and your ally gain 258 weapon and spell damage and 10% cost reduction to all regular abilities for 10 seconds. 10 seconds is actually quite
That's a long super
time.
Long, especially in PvP. If you're if you're reviving somebody, chances are you're right in the midst of things too. So that could be an interesting one to see.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got Cold Harbor's favorite, which is it's fairly generic until you get to the fifth trait. Now, do you guys remember Sir Cadwell?
If you, you need to go do the main quest right now because it's the best.
But do you remember his mount?
Yes, the Bantam Gwar.
Tiny little Gwar.
Bantam Gwar called Honor. So apparently with the Cold Harbor's favorite set and the fifth trait, when you heal yourself or an ally, you summon Cadwell's noble mount Honor, who after 2 seconds cast a healing spell on you. Okay, it's a little bit hard to understand, but basically, when you heal yourself, Honor pops up and casts
a healing
spell.
And then we'll heal everybody else.
And when you damage an enemy, Honor pops up and explodes.
That's so funny.
He can only be summoned every 10 seconds, but, you know, that's... So that's probably going to be amusing to watch, if nothing else. I don't know how actually useful it is, but it's...
Oh, I feel like that's going to be great for solo players. Because when I'm playing solo, just doing quests and stuff, I'm healing and doing damage all the time. So it's just going to be this little Gwar popping up, just blowing up, healing me, blowing up and healing me. So I think it'll be awesome.
Then the Sunspire sets, all of them are the trial sets lately, they've been good for a while. I'm sure many people have gone through Cloudrest, even if they wouldn't normally have done trials. But these Sunspire, you've got the Magic DPS set, which is the False God's Devotion, and the fifth trait reduces the cost of your magical abilities by 8%. And then when you kill an enemy, you restore 2,150 magicka. Now that's a big chunk
that's
of magicka
to get back. That's a big chunk of magicka to get back.
And you get Major Expedition for 8 seconds.
The bosses in Sunspire, is there a lot of trash on them? Because I'm curious.
It is a full-length trial. So it's not like Cloudrest where it's just bosses.
Where it's bosses,
it is a full-length one.
Because I'm curious how well that would work out. Because if it was more, that set would probably be pretty useless in Cloudrest. Because you're just killing a boss and taking forever to do it. So that you're not going to gain anything from the killing enemies. But if you're fighting necromancers or something like that are summoning a lot of things, then it'll be super useful.
Yeah.
AKB, I'm jealous of your collector's edition.
I don't understand how you didn't get it.
It's because I'm bad at math.
Why is the normal version $60 in Canada?
Oh, it's our exchange rate's just screwing me over. And then, I want the collector's edition. I think is it 100?
What?
Get it. DLC.
Is the Canadian dollar worth half of the US dollar now?
It's basically, I swear.
Okay. That makes slightly more sense.
Let me find it here.
Why can't I find monetary it? Monetary news with the UESP.
Yeah. Have fun, guys.
Okay. Well, while
we'll move on. Yeah, we'll move on to the... So the sets seem pretty cool. We won't bore everybody with too much talk about what all the sets do, but other things that they seem to have added is they've added a lot of new furnishings to the game, which is awesome because there's a lot of Khajiit inspired ones, which like kind of they're like Elsewhere inspired and like they fit. They look really cool in the settings. So
they said it's over 140 new recipes.
That's so many.
And apparently you can get recipes from dragons. So I don't know how that works. Now
they eat people.
Okay, they eat people and spit out the recipes. Okay. Now there
aren't currently the dragon. So I have actually killed, I think I killed like 3 dragons. And what they drop is partially digested backpacks. And that's how you get the loot from dragons. So they ate some guy at some point, and you're just going through the dragon's gut after you kill it and ripping out whatever they had on them still.
Ooh. It's kind of gross.
You can get dragon's blood and dragon's bile as well, which are new alchemy ingredients which have a new effect rate of minor heroism. Now, quite what that means in practice, I don't know.
I'm super excited about that because that's an alchemy ingredient Skyrim didn't have because, well, you ate the dragons.
Mm. You consumed them. I don't know if you ate them.
You absorbed them. Absorbed, that's all.
Absorbed.
Same difference.
Yeah, it's $109 to get the collector's edition in Canada. $109 for the digital. For the digital.
That's the upgrade.
So how much does...
There is no other version available on
Steam.
How
much does like a loaf of bread cost you at the store?
Okay, so you're being ripped off because of Steam.
Yeah, because I'm looking at buy the Elder Scrolls digital. I can get the standard edition, buy the Elder Scrolls Online standard edition, which is $24.99 right now. I can buy Elsewhere, which is $79.99. I can buy the Elsewhere upgrade, which is $54.99 plus tax. Or I can buy the Digital Collector's Edition, which is $109. I can't find on there.
This isn't a joke. I'm just curious, like, what's, like, common grocery prices for you in Canada? Like, a loaf of bread?
I don't think it's anywhere outrageous. Like, I think it's, what, $2 for a loaf of bread? Let me look right now.
That sounds pretty normal, yeah.
Yeah, it's not outrageous. It's only really, like, very visible in things that are, like, imported from the States. Because, like, technology and video games get jacked up so that they don't have to worry about losing money. Because when the dollar is good, things are super cheap. Because I remember back in when I was university, the dollar was, I think it was, like, the U.S. dollars was 75 cents of Canadian dollars, which is bad for the economy, blah, 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 any other problems. But it meant I could drive to the States and buy electronics super cheap and not have to pay duty on them. It was phenomenal. But other than that, so I think most of us have had a chance. I don't, Alara, have you had a chance to actually get into Elsewhere yet? Or are you still?
I have traveled to the zone and that's about it.
That's about it. So first impressions of people I'm in there other right than, now. Well, Alara is playing right now, so she can give us what her first impressions are. What is everybody thinking of their first kind of walk into the zone? Is it go ahead.
It is super good. Like, yeah, this is the best zone they've ever made, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. I think this is...
From what I've seen in the PAX demo and on PTS, the zone is beautiful. And it's really cool to see the different types of Khajiit as well.
Like, for me, I really, really hated ESO at the start. And if you didn't like ESO at the start, it's worth looking at the expansion zones. Because most of them are so much better made. Mm-hmm. But Elsewhere is definitely the most in-depth one they have ever tried to do.
And it's beautiful, too. Like, Somerset was awesome. And I loved the look of Somerset, too. And then Elsewhere, just like they kind of just built upon what they did before and just blew it out of the water so far. And which is funny because it's just like
getting better.
Like, generally in video games across the board, I would say desert zones are the worst. Like any other game, even if you look at base game ESO, like the Alakir desert is boring. And like if they had designed that as an expansion now, I would just be like losing my mind, I think, at the possibilities that they could do. So I think from like the initial impression too, and also the tutorial is 1,000 times better. Like it's so much, it makes so much more sense and kind of gives you a feeling of like, these are the things you will encounter in your first 10 hours of playing the game. Done.
So. I did the, for while we were setting up, I did the tutorial. And I legitimately didn't notice anything. It just kind of is there.
Yeah, it just kind of goes through.
I guess it's nicer if you've forgotten how to play, but I don't think it's as useful if you aren't really good at video games.
I don't know, because it does give you a lot of the, like, here's how basic combat works, which the first tutorial didn't do.
So I don't,
Full combat tutorial. It shows you, you know, when these lines appear, you want to block. When there this appears, something... you want to interrupt, and it's what you keep not doing. You keep on not interrupting. It.
There's something to say about a tutorial that just gets it done out of the way. It says, you know, this is what you need to know, but... It's also why I like that they included a just skip it option now.
Yeah.
It's always been a just skip. If you already
at the start of the game.
It was in the very beginning too.
Because I remember that tutorial being insane.
Oh, I hated that tutorial. But you could skip it after you had completed it once.
Of your first character, yeah. Now, to interrupt, you want to like hold down the left mouse button and click the right.
It doesn't make any difference.
It makes it a lot easier and I get less stressed about your low health bar.
Yeah.
I have not died once this entire time.
Yet.
I'm already like, what level am I? How do I see my level?
Press C when you're not in combat.
You can do it in combat too. He'll just die.
Oh, I leveled up. I got a dungeon finder now.
So it's even telling you how to interrupt. It pops up at the bottom there. It's telling you how to do it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So how far has everybody got so far in the actual chapter itself? I've made it. So I created a character. I made a Redguard Necromancer, and then I decided I didn't want a Redguard Necromancer. So then I went back and did a Khajiit Necromancer because I was like, I want to be like every single other person playing the game right now making a Khajiit Necromancer because that's what I should do. The game is in Elsewhere, and Necromancers are new, so I should, in fact, make a Khajiit Necromancer. Just like everybody else. So I did that, and I skipped the tutorial because I'd already done it on the Redguard one, and it plopped me down with no quest markers, nothing in my quest log, nothing going on, and I was like, huh.
And I respect that, because it says, okay, you know how to play, go on, go play your game.
So I wandered around for about a half an hour trying to find the main quest, and eventually found it in Rimmen. I got there, so I made it, and I've made it decently in, but not too far yet. So I'm still looking to learn all that's going on there. I think everyone's probably pretty similar around. I bet Beartron's probably had the most time to play out of any of us.
Actually, not really. But yeah, I started a new character, did the tutorial. There's a hilarious bug in the tutorial, which is when you're learning combat from the... I've forgotten what he's called, but the Khajiit who's in charge.
Grandmaster Mirage Dro.
Okay, him. the Grandmaster. He's telling you how to block, you know, to hold the left trigger or the left button, depending on if you're using gamepad or mouse, you know, to block and then use a heavy attack. And he falls down before you do the heavy attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just cracking up. The fact that he was falling, you know, the animations were backwards like that. Anyway, so it was really amusing looking at the guild roster last night. And I was just flicking through my various guilds. I was like, yeah. Well, not just everyone in Elsewhere, everyone with a Necromancer.
Yeah. Like, okay, and probably a funny Khajiit name. Mine is Pi apostrophe Lahan is my Khajiit Necromancer.
Of course.
I am Miss Fuzzy Face Whiskers.
Oh. That's very lore friendly.
It is. We have freaking Mizzic Thunderboots now.
I am not a Khajiit. I am a Dhanma.
Heretic.
Yes.
I'm just using my Altmer main.
I was thinking about doing it with my main, but the Necromancer is really fun to play. Like, it's probably the most fun class. I don't know if it's competitive or anything yet, but I'm really liking just, like, the style of combat it has. So, I'm excited for that. What's everybody's favorite thing so far, and why is it Alphiq?
My favorite thing by far is simply the look of everything. It's
aesthetically pleasing.
It's so rare for me to say, oh, it's the graphics, because I don't think of myself as much of a graphics snob, but it really is very pretty just walking through the desert. It's so colorful, and I really do enjoy how it all looks.
Yeah, it's even in low settings too, it's just a very beautifully designed zone. Like, it's diverse, it's pleasing to the eye, it doesn't get boring. Like, even like, yeah, AKB on the wall there was like some wall art from ancient Khajiits, it looks like, and it's just so cool looking.
Of course I'm saying, oh, it's such a pretty thing while I've been wandering
in
through,
like, a dungeon. Yeah, it's dark and skeletons are attacking you.
It's not like this is even a badly put together dungeon. Like, you guys will see in a little bit, but I just came into a nice little waterfall area. But I remember there being a lot of really samey dungeons in the base game. I don't know, what do they call them? Dells, not the fancy ones with raiding delves. Parties and all that.
Dells.
They were really original. The base game, basically, it's like they ran out of time, and a lot of them just have the same kind of, there was like the same map that was used over and over for multiple delves. It was like they had about 8 different maps, and they were just used to
recycle them with a different tile set.
Delves in the game, and then, oh, I don't know. I want to say about 2 years after release, they actually went back and redid some of the zones. I think it was the third, fourth zone.
But they couldn't really fix them all because there's just too much.
No, and they're not repeatable content. So, like, it's most people will do it once and then not really do it again unless there's a reason to. So I don't think they probably spend too much time in there.
There's always a reason to go get Sky Shah.
Don't worry.
What happened there, AKB?
Apparently I should have been doing crowd control.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I'm not going to worry about it, though.
Yeah. Bertrand, what's your favorite thing been so far?
Well, I might say dragons once I've actually had the chance to fight one, but because my new character only has a speed 6 mount, and that's because, you know, I fed the mount once and used 5 of those, riding lessons, 5 riding lessons that I got from various free crown crates. My speed 6 mounts, by the time I get to the dragon, it's already died. Yeah. But I've got to watch the death. And the death looks cool, so maybe actually fighting a dragon would be cool. And also, the other thing that's cool is one of the UESP members who's there in the chat, Skyrim Fantasy, right? They've made a character named Abner Thom. He looks just like Abner Thom, and is basically hanging out by the door where the real Abner Thom gives out quests. Apparently, people don't notice that this character doesn't have a quest arrow and just keep going up and talking to him, and obviously that's a favorite thing that a player's done, like so sleeps funny. On bridges. I still love it. It's great.
It is awesome.
Alara, you're just playing with your main Baratron. I know you made a necromancer, and we can see AKB is making the necromancer. How do you feel about the necromancer so far?
The death side.
Oh, they're so pretty.
The
animations are so good on the,
But especially the one called Death Scythe, which is
healing one.
Person. No. It's an attack, and it sweeps across the screen. Yeah. Every so often you see this kind of cyan sweep. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Also your main healing spell, because it's a health drain kind of thing. It's pretty nice.
Oh, does it do drain?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's how I've only died once so far, because I'm just draining everyone's health.
Is that, wait, your one ability is the Death Skull, I think, or something
similar? No, that's, it'll take a second to pop up on screen, but I'll look at the abilities. Yeah.
I just found my Eek.
Oh, you found my Eek.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Death Scythe does have a heal. Heals you for the first enemy hit.
Yeah,
awesome.
And the heal grows in power for each additional enemy hit up to 5 times.
It's a very... I kind of expected this to happen, but I feel the class is a bit overpowered, to be honest.
Which is funny, because the Warden was super, like, nerfed before launch.
Like, I'm just... your second... The second ability I got was where you throw a skull at someone, and each time you throw a skull at someone, it does 20% more damage on the next time you do it, which that's super good for just starting out, I feel.
It's like, really good to start with, yeah. I don't know. I haven't read many of the parses, but I have to ask in chat how the necromancers are doing, like, overall compared to everybody, but...
I would be surprised how it fits into the
end game meta.
I don't think any of us are qualified to talk about
None of us are good enough. We'll make sure to have somebody else on the show that actually knows what they're talking about when we want to talk about that.
Probably Lost.
He's not into the end game for ESO.
He's not into that.
He probably knows enough about it because he just knows things, but...
He is... Can we just talk about Lost for a second and the fact that every time... I remember something, I go like, oh yeah, here's some details about it. He like has the encyclopedic memory to recall every detail about it.
I can remember all of these things about it.
It makes me so jealous.
The other thing that's annoying me is you're not looting. Why are you not looting? You're leaving them. Ah, it's driving me nuts.
I'll kill this butterfly if it'll make you happier.
You don't have...
Just kill the butterfly. Just... I want you to loot the corpse.
He doesn't have auto-loot turned on.
Yeah.
Auto loot doesn't get turned on when you make new characters.
Neither do the subtitles, and that actually annoys me.
Yeah, you have to go back in and change them.
If you have any kind of trouble hearing, then you actually miss the very, very start of the story.
Yeah.
When they're saying, you know, wake up or whatever it is they're saying. I don't know what they're saying because I didn't hear it. Anyway.
I like what Mayik just said. He says, we've met. It must have been this one's brother, Nayik the Fibber.
That's a good one. With the necromancer, I've been... he's a necromancer healer. And I've been trying to avoid the things that are marked as criminal acts.
Yeah.
Because I haven't decided yet. I mean, obviously, one obvious thing to do with the necromancer would be to go, you know, full on evil and do Dark Brotherhood and all of that. But I haven't decided, because this guy's a necro healer, maybe he's not like that. So for now, I've been avoiding those things. I'm thinking about it, you know, because I might... Certainly with the Warden, I ended up making 2. And one of them's a stamina Warden with the bear and bow and, you know, the ranger type. And then the other one's an Argonian with the healing. And so I may well end up making a DPS type Warden, a necromancer as well. And maybe at that point I'll go with the full-on evil. Because I did actually experiment with designs on the PTS before I created the character. So I have to say.
I've yet to find the ones that are illegal. Like, where does it... like?
It says criminal act in the description.
Yeah, in bright red. Bright red, block capitals, it says criminal act. So like Blast Bones, for example, which is the second skill in Gravelord. Yeah, you've seen it now.
It seems a bit obvious now that you point it out. So it's not illegal to just be throwing around explosive skulls.
Nope, because
they're
illegal. Summoned.
They're not somebody's skull.
But summoning a flaming skeleton from the ground is...
because it's somebody's dead body.
I'm going to add that.
Transforming into the Bone Goliath, Bone Colossus, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that one looks super cool.
Well, that's just offensive. What if I identify as a Bone Colossus?
I mean, you will, because you will become one.
So, why is it illegal to be a Bone Colossus? This is like just exactly what happened to the orcs, you know? They were going like, oh, you're an orc, you're illegal. And it's like, what?
Well, on that note from AKB, probably a good place to end it for tonight.
Except I think we've covered pretty much everything. We've got Torchbook to give away.
Yes. So what we will be doing is, as after the credits roll and the final intro video, you can stick around on stream and we'll do the draw for the giveaway for the Torchbook. If you haven't entered already, make sure ! Torchbug in the chat and we'll give you a chance to win. So if you want a chance to win that, make sure you stick around after the show and we'll announce the winners. But other than that, on behalf of myself, Baratron, Alara, and AKB, and the rest of the UESP folks, want to wish you...
And the spirit of Lost.
And the spirit of Lost, because he's dead now. He's not dead.
He's just resting. He's not dead.
I feel better. I feel much better now. No, but on behalf of all of us at the UESP, we hope you check out UESP.net and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and check out our Discord, which we mentioned already, and have some fantastic adventures in Vern. Adventures in Vern.
Good old Vern.
Good old Vern. Have some fantastic adventures in Nern. Bye, everybody.
So long.